it's us again.
Yep.
And it's Tuesday.
I know.
And what?
Well, I might have to run out there and get some more of that tea. Mom, I almost drank it up.
You have a lot left. What are you talking about?
No, it's not much. I don't want to take this. Mostly ice.
Oh, okay.
I got some of that ginger lemon tea that it made.
Why don't you go make me a drink too while you're going out there? We don't have any alcohol. Not
okay, hold this, on.
Because it's only early afternoon.
I'm fucked up. Let me go get some tea.
That was just water with that black cherry like flavoring in it. So if there's any of that left. But hey, hi you guys. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. I like your little Space Invader there. Fourth drawer down. So yeah, we actually got more into the Unsolved Mysteries last night than I thought we would. For some reason, I don't know why I thought this, but I was like looking at all the episodes. And I thought that there were more than there were, like, for the second thing. So I was just kind of like, oh, man, we only watched four of them. But then when I looked at the list today, I was like, oh, no, actually, we watched five of them, and there's only one left that we haven't seen yet. So we haven't seen, so I figured, well, it's like, it's kind of like we're reviewing the whole second season, because we've seen, like, almost all of the episodes, except for Lady of the Lake is, I think, the only one that we haven't watched yet. I'm not really sure.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not my glass. What are you doing? Get into this big, huge artichoke jar. Look at this. It's so classy. I got my fucking lipstick all over the side of the glass. It's so gross. And, like, look at this. Check it out, you guys. I was, like, washing the coffee pot this morning, like, before I made coffee. And for some reason, like, the lip of it cut my huge gash in my finger. And I was, like, I was stumbling around for Band-Aids. And I guess we had, like, an old first aid kit, like, under the sink in the bathroom. And, like, I just pulled one out without looking at it. And it's this black Band-Aid that says fail on it. Yeah. I was like, thanks. That's a real, like, boost to my self-esteem. I don't even know.
We were looking at YouTube yesterday, and a couple days back, like 2 days ago, there's some channel on there. They hosted Jeffrey Combs.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Combs is fucking starting to get into the YouTube scene. And that channel that had him on isn't bigger than ours. So I'm thinking that once we hit about 10,000 subs, we're going to do something like have
maybe
Jeffrey Combs
would be on our show.
It'd be nice, yeah.
He seemed like a lovely person.
Yeah. And once I hit that 10,000 subscribers mark, I'm going to feel better. My bigorexia will be conquered. And I'll start asking some more famous guests. We've had some semi-famous guests on already. It's just that the show really didn't evolve that way. But I'm thinking maybe we should when it comes to movies and entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then we can have someone. Like I said, it's usually kind of a pain in the ass, like, to have guests on, but it's like, I could probably figure it out. Like,
yeah, and it'll probably be a bonus show, not a regular show, maybe.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we could just do it, like, every now and then. Like,
every now and then, yeah.
Like, particularly for doing, like, a movie review or, you know, maybe, like, a special every couple, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we can just, like, get somebody.
Yeah, I think so. We've had some paranormal-related guests on, you know, like...
Yeah, we had the guy from Summerwind, and the...
Yeah.
And then we've had Angry Gay Pope on a bunch of times.
Yeah, I can get that Navy pilot who saw the Tic Tac UFO. He's a good guest. I've watched him on a couple other shows. I could get him.
Fourth Row Down says, I bet Bruce Campbell would do it. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd be cool to have Bruce Campbell on. But once you start getting to that 10,000 subscriber range, you become more attractive, I think, to some of those people. It's worth their time to come on your show.
We're already attractive.
We're already good. I mean, some of our shows have 40,000 views on it. So I think Ed and Lorraine had 60,000 on it, didn't it?
Like I said, that's by far our biggest show.
Even our kind of average run-of-the-mill kind of show now, the ones that are a couple years old can have 5 to 10,000 views on them.
Yeah, which is weird. I hardly ever go back and, like,
go and
check.
Look. Yeah, but I've looked at some of the ones in the past. They're like, man, that's got 15,000 views? Fuck.
Holy crap.
You know what I mean?
That's, yeah.
Because I'm happy if we get 1,000.
Yeah, I don't really, like, expect to. Honestly, like, we just do the show because we want to.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't even go back and check them anymore.
I go back and check,
like, you know, and answer comments and stuff like that. But it's, like, other than that, I don't.
Over the past couple of years, it's kind of... grown into a pretty big channel. Some people thought we'd be, you know, have 100,000 subs by now, but you know what I mean? I think that's a little optimistic with the present day algorithms and everything that they use and suppression, and they don't want to pay you that much.
We're not everyone's
and for all
cup
you
of
know,
tea also.
for all I know, they lie about how many views you get, so they don't have to give you a very big paycheck. I mean, you can't really believe any of the counters.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy views.
Yeah, I know.
You can also buy subs.
Well, yeah, you can just every platform.
That means the platforms can lie to you and say and take subs away or have shadow amount of subs or shadow views. That way, they don't have to pay you for them. I don't trust them. I'm fucking Tom Ross. I don't trust them. Talking about Tom Ross didn't fucking trust you.
I like when you talk about yourself in the third
person. Hell yeah! I have to go out of body to discuss it. I'm going out of body.
I'm going over here to talk
about it to myself. Yeah.
Tom, what do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. God damn it. Exactly. You want to talk about Unsolved Mysteries?
Go ahead and talk about Unsolved Mysteries.
So while you were in there with the drink, I told him, I said, it actually didn't occur to me that we had almost finished like season two. I thought there were two more episodes, but actually we saw all of them except for one, Lady in the Lake, which we'll probably watch tonight. I don't know. We might talk about it on Matinee tomorrow, but I might do another movie as well. So we can generally kind of like talk about the whole season, about which ones we liked the most. Now, the ones, I don't think we watched them in the right order. Because I was like looking at another person's like review of them, and I was like, that's not the order that we watched them in. So I don't know if like Netflix just put them in a different order.
Fourth drawer down had a fucking brilliant statement. Tom's butt discusses it with his own butt, and he's trying to say I get Chuck tingled with myself. It's true.
It is true. Yeah.
And it is true. Exactly.
And your butt definitely does discuss some stuff.
It discusses shit. Yeah, it can discuss shit and drive other people out of the fucking room.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
that fucking Florida skunk ape, right? That ain't no fucking myth.
No, that's right.
He's out there. One of these days,
I'm going to make that fake video. Our new camera's coming tomorrow, so it's like maybe we can make that video finally.
One day they're going to catch him. And they're going to have to let it go.
Because they're just like, no, we don't want any part of this. Skunk Ape, it was right there in the name. And I don't know why we didn't like see that coming. Right. But that's funny because now next time, like, next time you're in the room and you kind of like, and you kind of let one, I'm going to be like, what are you discussing over there? I got to get out of the room.
You see, look, man, they're saying the number of subs don't mean much. Fucking Graham Townsend saying YouTube's been lying for years. Mark said he's seen channels grow to 1 million subs in a week with no added views. There's all kinds of fucking, you know, all kinds of shenanigans. I'm just saying. Big tech is about shenanigans. They're all about shenanigans. I'm just going to say shenanigans. I'm going to say it like that.
That is what it's like. Sure.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. It sounds like a bad indie band.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the shenanigans. That's the Michigan version. Where's Sophie? Shenanigans.
She's in there somewhere. Yeah. I saw her.
It's all shenanigans.
And chicanery.
Chicanery.
And tomfoolery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, go ahead, man.
Yeah,
I'm fucking up the show.
Fucking up the show. Yeah. So, like I said, so I'm kind of going in the order, not necessarily the order that we watch them, but we're just kind of like going all over the place, like in the order that the notes that this other person wrote about them. So one of them. Okay. So let's talk about the one that's called the Washington Insider Murder. Now, can I just say, like, right from the outset, is that a dog barking outside?
No, it's the neighbor's kids.
Oh.
Out there playing in the backyard. It scared me. I was like, what the fuck, man?
I was hearing childlike
voices. I was just, fuck, is this place haunted again? Childlike fucking voices.
We're talking about Unsolved Mysteries, and all of a sudden we're
yeah.
Like little kids. It's a little kid's kid. They have neighbors next door.
Yeah.
And there's a window right there, and they have, like, a pool that's, like,
they got a little pool, this may be, like, 20 feet. Fucking, yeah.
We can hear their dog, and we can hear their kid out there yelling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's one called Washington Insider Murder. Now, can I just say, this is about Jack Wheeler, and he used to work, he was a White House aide. He worked under several administrations. I think he came in under Reagan, maybe, and I think he worked under Bush and stuff, too. Now, they actually found his body in a landfill in 2010. So, presumably, he had been murdered. So, of course, because he was a White House aide, and I think he had worked for, like, a defense contractor, right? He was, like, in cybersecurity or something.
Yeah.
So, some people thought there was, like, some kind of conspiracy and stuff. So, they kind of, like, I thought it was good because they kind of presented some of that. But then they kind of, like, presented kind of the other side, too. Because I'm going to say, like, I don't know. I'm not a cop. I'm not an investigator or anything like that. I'm just somebody that's into true crime and, like, reads a lot of true crime. I'm saying I'm not even sure that this dude was murdered.
I don't think he was.
What happened? Well, because, okay, so they found his body in the landfill, which says to me, well, his body ended up in a dumpster somewhere, and then it got taken to the dump, obviously.
It was in a dumpster, but it wasn't robbed. It had all of his stuff on him.
Yeah, he had, like, money, and he had, like, a really expensive ring, like, yeah, and stuff like that. And the way he died was blunt force trauma. And I said, you know, that could have come from not necessarily being beaten to death, which is what they said, but,
falling
I mean,
into the back of that
he could have fallen into the back of the truck, or maybe, like, the truck kind of smushed him a little bit.
Well, you see, when that truck picks up the dumpster, it does this and lifts it overhead, and there's fucking rattling, and the fucking metal door's opening, and it drops you into the back of the truck, and it might have dropped him on something metal.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, so, you don't know, and he was crushed by stuff that fell on him. I think he fell asleep in a dumpster. And it happened because dude was fucking, they got him on video, they tried to fucking track him around because the FBI was in on it, all the fucking government agencies were trying to figure out what happened to this guy because he was a hero, and he kind of well known, you know, in the government. He was running around like he was running from something, but he was limping, and he was like walking around with one shoe
in his hand, like one time.
And there's obviously something wrong with
it. It was some Elisa Lamb shit, like that they had like before.
I think he had some kind of a brain hemorrhage, and he was bleeding on the brain.
I mean, he had bipolar disorder, so I feel like maybe he had like some kind of issue with his meds. Maybe he forgot to take them. Maybe like you said, maybe he just had some kind of other event.
He had bipolar disorder. Meds may have had something to do with it, but I don't think it was just that.
I don't either. I think he had
some kind of a brain aneurysm, and fucking certain centers of his brain started to get starved of oxygen and blood, and it made him act fucking weird.
Because he was acting weird,
I think he went into a Tom Clancy novel where he thought spies were after him, because he thought his briefcase was stolen, but he left his briefcase. So he's not, his memory's getting all fucked up. And, he went Tom Clancy. He had to hide from the spies and shit. And it was cold out, so he's fucking got into the dumpster.
Yeah.
He had a house.
Yeah.
But he ran from his house. There was some kind of disturbance there. He had spices all thrown around. They found a footprint. It looked like a Bigfoot footprint. Fucking flat-footed as a motherfucker going through.
Maybe Sasquatch.
Like Sasquatch, but they never did. That may have been his footprint, but they didn't say whose it was.
Yeah, well, they never did determine. Well, because that's the thing.
I think it was his footprint.
They thought it was a murder because they're like, okay, there was some weird shit that happened like before they found his body, right? Like the house across the street, or I don't even think the house was finished. I think they were just building it. And there was like a smoke bomb set off over there, right? And then like they found his cell phone like over there by the smoke bomb. So they thought that was weird. Then his house had gotten broken into, so they said. It looked like, but it didn't look like anybody was rummaging through the place like looking for valuables. It looked like somebody was just in the kitchen throwing a bunch of shit around.
Yeah, I have a different idea what happened. He started to go crazy because
I think
whatever
he
was
did
wrong
that.
With, yeah, he did all that. I think it was some kind of a brain hemorrhage. His brain started to malfunction. He went into Tom Clancy mode. He thought fucking Soviet spies were after
him, or
the deep state was after him.
Or some shit like that.
Yeah, some shit like that. He's setting off smoke bombs so he can escape, you know, under the cover of smoke. And he's not in good shape at this time. He's an older dude. His health must have not have been very good. They didn't really get into that, but you look at him, he's pretty out of shape. And he's an older guy, you know.
Yeah, he was mid-60s, I think, at the time.
I think it was just a brain hemorrhage. But he's reliving his fucking glory days, you know, in a certain way. He's now a spy in a Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah, and he was, like, getting in cabs and, like, going places where he didn't have any business going. Or nobody could think of any reason why he was going there.
He goes into fucking escape and evasion mode, you know. That's what happened.
And then I think that what happened to him was, I think it was because it was real cold. It was like New Year's Eve or something.
Yeah.
In fucking wherever it was. What the hell did it happen? I don't even remember.
In his mind, he's
Delaware.
Fucking,
it was Delaware.
And in his mind, he's evading enemy agents.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
But I think he just got like had a friend. Then it was cold, and he just climbed into a dumpster to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, because they even talked to the guy that, like, found the body, like, the guy that worked at the dump that drove the truck, and he's like, it happens every now and then, like, you know, homeless people and stuff like that, when it's cold, you go in there to get warm. What else are you going to do?
I saw it, and that's a place, you know, where if you were, you know, freaking, we sleep outside in the Army all the time, and I looked in that dumpster, but yeah, it'd be a good place to sleep.
Well, yeah.
It's totally enclosed. It wasn't a dumpster that had food garbage in it. It was a dumpster that had paper products in it.
Yeah, it just looked like cardboard and shit like that.
Cardboard boxes and stuff. It was a dumpster out behind like a warehouse.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a dirty dumpster. It was, yeah. You know, it's not like it had food and garbage and shit in it. It was just cardboard boxes and paper. So it would have been a good place to sleep, stay warm.
Yeah.
Plastic bags and stuff. And I think he just crawled in there to hide from the enemy agents, you know.
And get warm.
And get warm, yeah.
And then he fell asleep in there
and it came and threw his ass out.
Because like I said, the dude from the dump said that. He's like, that happens sometimes. We put the fucking thing in the truck and then like somebody pops up and is like, oh shit, I'm in here. You know what I mean?
I think he got killed when it started to dump it into the back. He fell out and fucking, you know. The doors start swinging and banging and that thing hit him in the head probably and killed him.
I kind of suspect that's what happened. So right. I don't really think, even though, you know.
I think he was dead by the time he actually got into the garbage truck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I kind of feel like that wasn't even a murder. Yeah. But it's still an unsolved mystery because they don't know if it was a murder or if he just, like, died some other way.
A lot of guys have just fucking had some kind of brain problem and wandered off and become homeless people. We're never seen again. That's happened. That's what would have happened with him.
Yeah.
Had he not been killed.
Yeah. I mean,
he would have froze to death as a bum, and they were like, who the hell is this dude? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's sad that it happens, but it's like, if you don't know. So another one that we watched, actually, this one was the first one that we watched, is called Stolen Kids. This one was really
fucked up.
Sad. Oh my God. So this happened in 1989 in New York City, and there was this woman. And she was playing with her little kid at the park. And I guess she, like, turned her back for a second. Or she, like, one of the other family members was, like, watching the kid. And they were going to go to the store and get the kid some snacks. And then they came back and they couldn't find the kid. And this was, like, this was a toddler. Like, a little boy. I think he was two, the first one. And then, so 3 months later, a 19-month-old little boy went missing from the same exact park. So they have these two kids' moms on there, and it's just like fucking heartbreaking. Like, which is because it's been such a long time. I mean, that was 1989.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I can say, because, and you said this, and then they had the people.
Then they came on
and were talking about it too. They said,
call it. When I'm watching this shit, I call it. Almost all the way, I'm like, this is what happened. And then they bring on the experts, and then they confirm what I said.
I mean, I'm not saying it's. Not unheard of for, say, pedophiles to kidnap children that young.
It's unlikely,
but it's unusual.
Yeah, it's unusual.
So what they basically said, and the experts said this, like you said this, they said, you know, the fact that they were little boys and they were that little, they were like toddler age,
that suggests someone,
like a woman that couldn't have children of her own.
Yeah.
Much like, you know, some women will steal a baby from a hospital or something like that if they've just had like a miscarriage or something. Yeah. That does happen. So... In a way, that's messed up, but I kind of hope, like, that's what happened, because that means that someone raised them.
Yeah,
and
back
okay.
in those days, some of the people in the area, you know, they were saying somebody's stealing the kids and selling them. Now, very unlikely, okay, because if a kid is fucking stolen to sell, it's a white kid.
Yeah.
Because there's lots.
Sadly, that's true.
It's just true.
That's what I said too.
It's real easy to. If you need a kid, if you want a kid, it's easy to adopt a black child. There's a lot of them in the orphanages.
In the system,
In the system. So, when they sell a kid, it's usually a fucking wealthy white family want to buy a child that they raise as their own, and they're going to claim it as their own. So it has to look like them.
Yeah.
So that's why they're doing it. I'm telling you, the demographics, the age, and the race of the child, it's a black female that couldn't have children and was taking other people's children. And she probably wanted more than one, so she got two.
Yeah, because it was 3 months in between.
Right. I think that there's a fucking super, super likely both those kids are alive. They're grown people now.
And that's what I said. I really hope so, because they had, like I said, they had both the moms on there talking. It was just like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what like happened to them.
At least it's better than having them killed, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I really, really hope that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't think they were killed. I think they were raised by somebody who, a lonely woman, lonely black woman.
And because they did actually kind of mention another case on there where a woman who had just, I think she had just had a miscarriage or something like that, or she lost her own child, and she actually went into a hospital and stole a baby. And they actually did find that that person, like that baby later on, like when she was grown up, and they actually did like reunite her with her family. So they're kind of hoping that that's the situation here, but it's been like 30 something years at this point. So they're just kind of hoping. They have gave good description. They did like a really good age progression. So they were like, you know, they were trying to find this person. These two little boys that were taken back in 1989.
Yeah.
So then there was one. Now, this one was really weird. This is probably my favorite one just because this was, like, so fucking weird. A death in Oslo. Now, this one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
This one was very.
This one had me wondering.
This one is very similar to the Isdal woman case, like, from the 1940s, I think.
As soon as they talked about the damn tags. The clothing tags being
cut off.
Missing.
Yeah, just like Isdal like, Woman.
Yeah,
Santa. And like Somerton Man.
You're right. And just like Special Forces.
That's some spy shit. That's
back
spy
in
shit.
The time when I was in service, all your SF guys wore sanitized uniforms when they went on a mission. Not when they were just walking, you know, just doing. You never could tell if they were going to be in uniform or not when they did a mission. Sometimes they would just dress like civilian mercenaries. But one of the things that they did is even if they had military uniforms on, there's no name tapes, no name tags, nothing. All removed. It's not to say that they weren't trying to hide the fact they were special forces. What it was is if they ever got captured, you couldn't tell who was in charge and who was who.
Yeah.
They'd all start lying about who was who, you know. They'd all start claiming to be the captain, or they all started claiming to be, you know what I mean, in charge of the unit because they already had pre-planned lies.
Yeah.
And to confuse interrogation, they would all claim to be the fucking unit commander.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they couldn't figure it out. Well, the same intel agencies would kind of do the same thing. Cut all the tags out of your clothes so you couldn't tell where these people had been.
Yeah, you couldn't tell where the clothes came from. You couldn't, like, identify, right. Like, what country they were from.
What country the clothes were, or what countries they had moved through.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, but that's kind of retro. I don't think that would work nowadays.
This actually happened in the 90s. And right. Like I said, it's really weird that I hadn't heard about this case because this is very, very similar to Isdal Woman.
Yeah.
Not quite as grisly as that one. Like, we did a show about that one, like, a really long time ago. I think we talked about Isdal Woman and Somerton Man, like, which also I think is spy shit. I think this is probably spy shit, too. So this happened in the mid-1990s. There's this woman. They later found out. They did age on her, right? They found out she was, like, what, 24, 25, something like that? So she's this really, like, kind of, you know, snappily dressed, like, woman, very elegant looking. She checks into this, into the Oslo Plaza Hotel in Norway, obviously. And she's in there. She was there for, what, 2 or 3 days, right? And they said she didn't really go, because they had the key cards then, and they could tell when she went in the room. They didn't necessarily know when she came out, but they knew when somebody, like, used the key card to go
in the
room.
When the door was open, yeah.
So they're like, she spent most of those few days in her room, but like one day she was gone for like 20 hours, like before she came back. So then one day they actually, like, the guy went up there and the do not disturb thing was on her doorknob, like, pretty much the whole time. And so, like, one of the employees of the hotel went up there, and I guess he, like, knocked on the door or something because there was some problem or whatever. And he heard a gunshot, and he flipped out, and he ran and got the police. And so there was, like, a 15-minute gap. So they go in there. They find the woman. She's lying on the bed. She's totally dressed. She's got her high heels on. She looks like she's going out for, you know, she's got all black with her
kinda
stockings
like a 90s,
and everything.
90s kind of fucking dark wave chick, really.
She did, yeah.
All black. Black short hair. She was pretty, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah, because they did a...
Mid-20s.
Actually, they showed a picture of her, like, dead body, too. Well,
yeah,
just
showed
her face, at least.
Yeah, and they kind of touched up her forehead because she shot herself in the forehead.
Like that. Well, at first they thought that, but I don't know. It just seems like it could be a suicide, sure, but they were saying that it's like, if she shot herself, like, the gun, they found the gun like this, like, in her... But it, like, she used her thumb, like, to shoot herself, which seems... Not impossible, but odd. And also, they didn't find, like, any blood on her hand. They didn't find any blood on her clothes, anything like that. But she'd been shot one time in the forehead, and then the gun was just kind of left there. And then the room had maybe been, like, wiped down. And then they went in her closet, and, like, all her clothes, like we said, had all the tags cut out. And then they found out that when she checked into the hotel...
Bunch of anomalies, yeah.
Yeah, like, she checked in under the name Jennifer Fairgate, I think was the name that she checked in under. And
weird
she had
addresses.
An address and everything. Yeah. But so they go to the town, like, where the address was, which was in Belgium. And they said it was this really small town. It was like less than 5,000 people. Now, the town really existed, but the address she gave, the street existed, but that house number didn't. Like that, the house numbers on that street like stopped before that number. And they said, and even like the phone number she gave was one that would have been from that town, but nobody in that town had it. And they thought it was weird too, because they said she didn't show any ID, like even a passport or anything, to check into the hotel, which even in the mid-1990s, I'm pretty sure you had to show ID to check into a hotel.
Yeah, she was somehow able to check into the hotel improperly, and they accepted it.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason, and they didn't have an explanation of how she actually got into the hotel. The hotel management didn't know.
Yeah.
Which means it's a little weird. There might have been slightly an inside job. She was an intelligence agent.
I kind of suspect, and they talked to a guy that was like, that was a Norwegian or a Swiss like intelligence agent, and he basically said, "This looks like an execution," is what this looks like, and it's like, and all the shit about where she was, like her, the shit with the clothes, the shit with the, you know, address and everything, that looks like intelligence shit.
There were some holes in what they said, though. The Norwegian firearms experts didn't know what they were talking about. They don't have as much experience as I have with firearms. The way they characterize shit, there was a Browning high power. It was a 1930s era. They knew that, but they failed to mention a bunch of stuff about sanitization because the numbers had fucking were ground off in a certain area. That was something. And certain European manufacturers of fucking the Browning high power, certain serial numbers were on the fucking barrel near the chamber that you could see it through the closed ejection port as the fucking barrel, or as the slide was in battery, okay? Yeah, of course you could ground those down, but there's a bunch of, you can drop acid on there and fucking the numbers will come right back, because when you punch numbers into a barrel or into any piece of metal, the punching action actually causes molecular density. You know what I mean? The molecules bunch up right there. And if you drop acid on there, those bunched up molecules will dissolve at a different rate from the other molecules that weren't bunched up, and the numbers will show. They failed to mention that. Maybe they didn't want to give away a forensic trick that you can do, because they think that that helps them trace weapons. But it doesn't help you trace weapons. You could have every fucking number on a fucking pistol, and you could find out maybe who originally purchased it when it was first sold back in the 1930s. That person's long dead. You'll never be able to legally prove a chain of custody. Those numbers are a waste of time. All right. So whoever ground the numbers off was wasting their time too. You might as well just let them see the numbers. And they were saying about how powerful 9mm was. 9mm is not powerful. It's a mid-range cartridge. 44 Magnum is a powerful pistol cartridge. They said it was impossible to shoot yourself in the forehead using your thumb and still have
it
in your
hand.
Well,
they didn't say it was impossible. They just said it was still unlikely.
It was a lie. It's a lie. If you turn a pistol around backwards in your hand, stick your thumb through the fucking trigger guard, and you have one hand and then the other hand supporting it, and shoot yourself in the forehead, which would be, that's how you would train a fucking intelligent operative to commit suicide. Because through the side of the head, you could actually miss and it can blow your eyeballs out. The fucking, because your eyes are actually below your brain casing. It's hard. And it's also, to shoot yourself through the roof of the mouth, you can get the angle wrong. It'll blow the top of your face off and you'd still be alive. Directly into the forehead is a good way to do it. And the recoil will be absorbed by the hand. Like your thumb will get snagged up in the trigger guard. The hand will fall and the pistol will still be in your hand. The recoil, they made it sound like the recoil is excessive in 9mm. It's not. It's about like 38. It's mild. Very, very mild. So it's not punishing, especially on two hands. It's just certain things that they said. I do believe that she was an operative, but I think she was East German.
Well, they figured that out because they did like a DNA analysis and stuff. They figured out she was probably about 24 years old. They have a really good sketch of her face. They have pictures of her face. They think she was probably East German.
Now, here's the weird thing. East Germany was gone in what, 91?
Yeah, that was 91.
Which means that she was out there in the field for an additional 3 years at least.
Yeah.
So are they saying the Stasi was still in operation 3 years after the fall of Eastern Germany? Maybe. Maybe Stasi and some of the fucking intelligence agencies of Eastern Europe kind of went rogue after their government collapsed, and maybe they became a semi-criminal organization. I don't know. Maybe they started working for another country.
Yeah, there's no telling.
Maybe they went to work. Maybe they were doing contracts for the CIA. Who was paying them? Either way, what I think happened, they hypothesized that she was murdered by her organization or an enemy organization. I'm going to say no. She killed herself.
But they still don't know. I mean, the mystery was, like, yeah, whether she was murdered or she killed herself. But I think the bigger mystery was who she was and why she was there and who she was working for.
I think most likely she was in an intelligence organization, and there was no way out of that organization. And she had done something over the years that she wasn't happy with. Maybe she was suffering depression and she killed herself. Because we don't know who she was or how she was recruited. For all you know, she was, you know, basically, female intelligence operatives are basically kind of like high-tech hookers. They sleep with men to get information, all right, and then they sell that information back. Maybe she was recruited out of a fucking prison. Maybe she was recruited out of an orphanage at an early age.
Because she was pretty young. She was only 24.
So you don't know what her life was like. She might have had a bad life, and maybe there was no way out of fucking the intelligence services she was in. And she didn't like doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe she was fucking over these guys, sleeping with guys and fucking them over, and she didn't like doing that. Maybe she liked them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of, some of that shit that those people do, man, is a total lack of consciousness. They, you know what I mean? It favors psychopaths and sociopaths. Yeah. People that can betray people. And I think she killed herself because she didn't like what she was
doing. Yeah, she very well might have.
That's what I think happened.
I mean, you know, but like I said, I'm kind of more interested in, like, why, like, you know, who she was and what she was up to.
I think she was an East German girl, came out of an orphanage.
Yeah.
That's what I think she was.
Probably.
Brought into the intelligence, like in the Le Femme Nikita type shit. That's not too far out of reality of how, especially Eastern Europe type shit, you know. Somebody who's expendable and doing that as a big move up in life for them, you know.
It's weird too because I mean, like I said, the case was kind of similar to Izdal woman.
I think she was the same thing.
Which also, yeah, and like again, it was the same thing where Izdal woman, they weren't really sure if she killed herself or if somebody else killed her. Although in her case, I think murder was a little more likely because I mean, they found like all those sleeping pills like in her stomach, but they were undigested, and then it appeared that someone had tried to set her on fire, unless she tried to set herself on fire, which seems like a shitty way to go, especially since you've already taken a bunch of sleeping pills.
I think Izdal woman was killed.
I think so too.
I think this one would kill herself.
Because that was like, because Izdal woman, they found her like way up in the mountains. Like
I've mentioned this before on other shows. Usually, a paid assassin makes the murder look like a suicide. That's the way. And you know, that's what certain people in these intelligence communities are. They're assassins.
Well, that's why they're leaving the possibility open on this case that she could have been killed by an assassin to make it look like a suicide.
It's possible, but I think it's more likely she killed herself.
Yeah.
And she was an intelligence operative.
Yeah.
Because they killed themselves too.
Yeah.
Maybe she got into a bad jam and there was no way out other than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, she might have fucked up. People were coming after her. Something like that.
Yeah.
You don't know the situation.
But like I said, I think that was kind of the most
She killed herself when she heard the fucking somebody knock at the door. Which tells me that she...
Yeah,
because
that guy heard the gunshot. Because she'd been there for two or three
days,
I think, at that point.
She thought somebody was coming to get her.
Had found her. Yeah, maybe that's...
That's probably what happened.
That seems kind of likely, yeah.
She probably was the
other... Because, like I said, if she was going to kill herself, why didn't she do it before that?
I think she thought she had been compromised.
Yeah.
And I think her own side was after her. Not the enemy, but her own side.
Yeah.
There was no... She
Possibly.
Had nowhere to go.
But yeah, maybe somebody will figure it out one of these days.
No.
Yeah, maybe not.
No. No paperwork. No paper trails. That's why they haven't figured out fucking Izdal.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was like back in the fucking 40s.
Yeah, what they're doing is basically what organized crime does. Those units mimic organized criminals and use organized criminals. It's that same. And PIs and bad cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, what was the other one? The other one was... Excuse me. The other one was about fucking Lester Eubanks, which I had heard of this case before. This actually happened in 1965. He was a sex offender.
Yeah, this guy's a dickhead.
And he, back in 1965, this little girl, she was 14, and she was going to get some more money for the laundromat. Like, it was her and her sister or her and her friend or something like that were at the laundromat washing clothes, and they ran out of money, so she kind of walked down the street to get some more money from her grandma or whatever. And this dude just shot her and killed, and she didn't die outright, which is the most horrible thing, and they kind of, like, saved that little tidbit for later, and I was just kind of like, oh my god, that's, like, even worse than fucking... Like, he shot her, and then he, like, I guess he came back and she wasn't dead, so he, like, fucking smashed her head in with a brick or something like that. It was, like, fucking horrible. So, they caught the guy, like, pretty much immediately, because this dude, like, lived in the same neighborhood. Everybody knew him. He was, like, the town weirdo. He, like, kind of walked down the street with, like, fucking nunchucks and all this other kind of, just, like, thinking he was fucking Bruce Lee or whatever. So, and they caught him and he confessed, and then he got convicted and put on death row. But then in 1972, Ohio abolished the death penalty, and so he got commuted to a life sentence. And then for whatever reason, he was kind of able to charm his way into this program where they kind of let some of the inmates, like out. Not like to run around free, but like with guards, like so they'd take them like on shopping trips and whatnot. Like, you know, under guard.
He became a trustee, basically.
Yeah. And so during one of these little sojourns where they took them, like, Christmas shopping, he got the fuck out and escaped. And they have not found him to this day.
Yeah. I think he's dead, though.
He probably would be, because he'd be, like, old as fuck. He'd be in his 80s. I think he'd be in his 80s at this point. And somebody with his record... Because he had already been, like, arrested for, like, rape, sexual assault, and all kind of shit, like, before he even killed this little girl. So I kind of figure that this is somebody that probably, once he got out, he probably didn't last too long.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, I hope he didn't, but they don't know where he went after that, and they still never did find out.
Well, he couldn't have made a new identity for himself enough to pass and get, say, like, health care or housing. So he would have been pretty much without any kind of fucking Social Security support. You know what I'm talking about?
Unless he had somebody help him, which I kind of suspect that his dad might have helped him.
Yeah, I think he helped him for a while, but then his dad would have died off, right?
Yeah.
All right? Because his dad would be, what, 130 now?
Yeah.
All right? And then any kind of females helping him, they would have probably, you know, well, they might have outlived him. It's possible. But I don't know. I think he's dead.
He probably is, like I said. It would be unlikely for him to have got to that age, especially as type of person that he was.
There's a chance he could have been reoffending, but probably not. I think he would have gotten caught as he got older.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would have risked it.
Maybe not. But although, like I said, I don't know if he was the type of person that could just stop doing that. He seemed like a habitual.
D'Angelo stopped.
True, but that's when he was, like, way older.
Yeah. Well, he was older by the time he escaped, though.
Not that much older.
What was he, 30? 30-something? I think he was in his 30s when he escaped.
Maybe, but that's... Yeah.
But and he did a lot of... And he was running a lot of the times from one woman to the next who was helping him.
Yeah.
I don't... He was actually... They said he was actually a pretty charming guy and kind of like the center of attention. He wouldn't have been a guy who couldn't get a girlfriend. He could get a girlfriend.
Well, yeah, he was a good-looking dude, and he seemed like, you know, like I said, like a lot of sociopaths, he seemed kind of charming.
So when he was young, he was a serial sex offender, and one girl he shot and killed.
That 14-year-old.
There's no evidence that he killed another one, but he might have left that behind him. But that doesn't mean he had the right to escape. They should have caught him and fucking brought him back.
Yeah, he had a life.
But I think he's dead.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
And then the last one we watched, like I said, we still have to watch Lady in the Lake. We can watch that tonight sometime. But the last one we watched was the Token Supernatural episode.
That wasn't that good. It was all right.
I didn't like it.
Japanese ghosts.
Yeah, it's tsunami spirits. It was kind of all about, it was very unfocused. It wasn't really focused on just like one case. It was kind of focused on a whole bunch of different people who saw weird shit after that horrible tsunami that they had back in... That was 2011, right? It was like 20,000 people died. And it's like, I think like...
Yeah, the wasn't well written or well structured.
The most affecting kinda parts of that, I think, were actually just the parts about the actual tsunami and like the people, like that one guy, like talking about how he found his fucking daughter, like dead daughter, like hanging in a tree.
Yeah.
And then like they found his fucking baby, like buried underneath the mud and all that stuff. That was like fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's like then they kind of went off and they were talking about like all these taxi drivers that said they were picking up all these like wet ghosts and like taking them back, and they were taking them like ghost ride for free and all sort of kind of stuff. And it's like, I hate to be like,
I guess it was interesting, but
like,
I
hate to be glib and everything, and it's like, you know, because everybody there like lost so many people, and that's horrible. So you can see why it would be comforting, you know, to say like, oh, you know, my dead relative like came to the door, like, you know, and they were all wet and they wanted a towel and ghosts and everything.
One of the things about the accounts, they're very Japanese in their narrative. You know what I mean? It's like something comes out of a damn Japanese ghost movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Japanese ghost movies are the way they are. So, I don't know. They had that Shinto priest there. Was he Shinto or Buddhist?
Oh, I can't remember now. I thought he was Buddhist, but don't quote me.
Yeah, maybe. I thought he might have been Shinto. But he could have been. Either one. Doesn't really matter. He was saying that rational people might say that it had to do with trauma and visions and psychology. And he says, but We don't talk about it that way. We just accept it for what it is. This is the experiences that they have. You know what I mean? He says you can interpret it any way you want to interpret it. But you know, if you want to, they're just tales. To me, they were interesting stories. None of them were really compelling as.
Well, like I said, it was so generalized. I mean, because it kind of just bounced around. Basically, bounced around it was just kind of like, you know, all these people had like ghost experiences in the wake of this horrible tragedy.
Yeah, and it bounced around, like you're saying, that episode did kind of have edit problems.
Yeah, like I said, it just seemed a little scattershot.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, you know, everybody liked like the original Unsolved Mystery. And I will say that I like this season better because it has like more, it seems like it has more of a variety, you know what I mean? It's like it had one from overseas. It had actually like a fugitive one, which I don't think we had on the first one. I guess we did. That French guy was kind of a fugitive, wasn't he? But they seem to be like, you know, trying to get like one of each thing, like that they used to have on Unsolved Mysteries, except for like they haven't done like Lost Treasure or anything like that yet, but because they used to do that in the old one too. But, you know, so a lot of people liked the UFO ones and the ghost stories and stuff. So it's like, it's cool that they are giving a nod to that because it's kind of like, you know, a nod to the original show because they're like, they had paranormal ones and everybody liked those. But this was like easily my least favorite of the season.
Miss J's asking us how we're doing. How you doing, Miss J?
We're doing good, actually.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
That was the last one that we saw, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And like I said, there's only one more left. Actually, I don't think even, we got almost to the end of that one and I was just like, and I got too sleepy and I was just kind of like,
we'll have to rewatch that other one.
You know,
and actually, it was almost at the end of that one, wasn't it? We never did finish that one, did we?
No, but I think it only had like 5 or 10 minutes left.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's kind of cool. Like, I like ghost stories as much as the next person. I was telling you last night, it kind of reminded me of when I was in Wales. And if anybody in the UK, you guys probably know, but there was a really horrible tragedy that happened there in Aberfan. I can't remember what year it was, but basically, like, all the coal slurry or the slag or whatever, like, slid down the side of the mountain and, like, buried a school and, like, you know, killed, like, suffocated a bunch of children.
Yeah.
And I actually went to the cemetery there in Aberfan, and, like, the more I read about it, they were saying, like, all these people, it's kind of like 9/11, I guess, where, like, all these people, like, before it happened, like, said that they had all these nightmares about being suffocated by, like, something black.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost kind of like a bunch of people had, like, a premonition.
Yeah.
Like before, but so it kind of reminded me of that. But the tsunami one, it was kind of like they didn't really talk about people having premonitions about it. They just talked about people seeing ghosts like after.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever mentioned it on the show, but I told Jenny I had a dream the night before 9/11 happened. I had a dream that I flew a plane, a huge jet plane, into a Federal Express mail building.
Huh.
Remember I told you that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was flying the plane, and I saw a big old complex of buildings, and it was the U.S. Mail or something. And I flew it into that on purpose, and I don't know why. And then I woke up, you know what I mean, before it hit. got up out of bed and goes, that was a weird dream. And then a few hours later on the news, I saw that second plane hit that fucking tower.
That's pretty weird.
And what was weird is that was mail planes.
You know, when I lived...
Were they mail planes? Or they thought it might have been a mail plane. I don't know.
You know what's weird about that is that when I lived in Tampa, somebody flew, like one of those single engine, like, planes, like, flew into the side of the building. I think he was the only one that got killed.
Yeah, and it was a mail building, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't remember.
I know somebody from the mail, from the post office went postal or something and flew.
Yeah, that might have been the same case. It was Tampa or Clearwater or something, St. Pete or something.
Yeah, and I think somehow that event of that guy crashing it into a mail building. I think he worked for the fucking post office. That made me have that dream where I did that.
Yeah.
But it was weird. The timing
was weird, yeah.
Was weird. Just weird.
Yeah,
and evidently, there were some other people that said that they kind of had a weird dreams and premonitions of it the day it happened.
I mean, like I said, unless they had, like, some fucking... Unless they wrote it down before the shit happened and, like, had it fucking notarized and shit like that.
Yeah, it's hard to prove.
Because it's, like, easy to say afterward, oh, I had a dream before it happened.
Yeah, no,
it's
But I didn't think anything of it.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying there's no way of proving it.
There's no way of proving it. I didn't think anything of it at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until I saw the fucking Twin Towers event. But waking up, I was just like, yeah, it's just another dream.
Just another weird dream, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like we all have all the time.
What's funny is that I don't have very many weird dreams anymore. I had weirder dreams when I was younger.
Yeah.
There's something about as you get older, I think your brain gets more efficient and you don't go down these flights of fancy when you're asleep.
Or maybe it's just because people get just boring when they get older.
Well, I used to have damn
your imagination just kind of like gets flabby.
I used to have weird fucking out-of-body experiences and fucking dream true and have waking dreams where you become conscious in a dream and then you start controlling the dream.
Yeah.
I used to have all that when I was younger. Yeah. I used to be able to go to sleep. This is like when I was a teenager. I'd go to sleep and then when I woke up, it was like I had leveled up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I had gained new abilities or new understandings. It was kind of like... As you were sleeping, your mind would process things that were happening each day. And then somehow you'd have like a breakthrough. And then you'd wake up and you felt like you were a different person with a whole new understanding of the world.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you could do something that you couldn't do before.
Well, that's kind of what one of the theories is like about what dreams are, is that they're your brain, like, trying to, like, now that your consciousness is kind of off and, like, stopping, like, yelling at you, that it's, like, sorting shit out back.
Yeah, yeah. And there was, like, there was, like, a couple times, like, in that 10th, 11th, 12th grade period where you would, like, totally, like, level up and you were, like, in a new state of consciousness.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? With new abilities. It was weird, man. But I guess that's just part of... having weird breakthroughs as you're developing, like an emergent property would come out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys in the comment section might know what I'm talking about.
And someone's asking if we've seen The Alienist. I haven't yet, though. I did read the book, so I actually do want to watch that one of these days because I really, really liked the book a lot. I read the book, like, several years ago. Mark said I do my quantum mechanics homework in my sleep. Yeah. Well, that's what sleep's supposed to do. It's supposed to kind of, like... defrag everything in there and kind of like sort shit out, so when you wake up you're like, aha, I got the answer. I mean, you know, that doesn't always happen, but that's I think technically that's kind of what the purpose of it is, you know.
Jay says hormones play a bigger role in dreams than people realize, just like poltergeist activity can ramp up. Yeah, probably right. Yeah,
I have. Yeah, I've read a couple
and
of
maybe
papers
opening
on that.
Up new neural pathways as you learn certain things. It gives you that feeling of leveling up. And it happens mostly when you're young, during, like, you're having those early big growth spurts.
Yeah.
Through your teen years. And hormones are happening on top of that. But then I think a bunch of emergent properties start happening because you're becoming more conscious. Or your consciousness is changing into a new form. And then I think eventually what happens is you get kind of old. And you've kind of stabilized.
Got ossified.
Yeah, and you become very efficient at thinking. So you're not as creative as you were or you tend not to be as creative as you were. Because you don't waste time with fucking crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like you did when you were young. I used to look at shit when I was younger, and I'd just fucking have fucking flights of fancy and fucking embellish it in my own mind. And, you know, like listening to music.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking intense experience. Listen to it now, it's just kind of humdrum.
But see, but you know? People who, like, you know, who are artists or writers or something like that, that you have to try and, like, maintain that.
You have to maintain that, right.
Throughout your adulthood. Otherwise, you're not going
to
be any
good. Seem to be able to do it sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, if I really start cutting up on the show, it's like it's coming back.
Yeah.
But left to my own devices, I'll just try to sail through it with minimum resistance, I guess you could say, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's like that.
I don't want to be like that. Yeah. I don't ever want to be like
that. Gotta stay active.
Yeah.
Gotta stay active. Gotta stay in a positive mindset.
Well, you gotta stay, like, mentally active. Like you're I right. said, this is why I treat, you know.
Right.
Because, like I said, I'm a writer and, you know, I like to do creative things. So it's like, I don't want to get into a thing where it's like, oh, it's stupid. I don't want
to
do anything.
Right. That's eventually what happens to a lot of people.
Not everybody, though. Well, but like I said, you have to struggle to, like, maintain it.
Yeah.
Sure, when you're old.
Well, a lot of people were never like you, though.
That's true.
I knew guys that were in their senior year of high school that were already old men.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, I did, too.
And, yeah.
I did, too.
And then you see them later, you know, you're on Facebook, like, fucking 30-something years later, you look at it and goes, damn, you know, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked like a 90-year-old man, you know what I mean? Just...
Zach says, I'm worried I'll lose my artistic passion when I get older and be left with nothing. Don't think of it like that, though. It's like, I never found it all that difficult to, like, hang on to it. So, maybe you won't either.
Always try to stay in a mode of growth. Growth and development. And, you know, I wasn't always like that. There's times where I have, like, a year that was fucking bad or some negative years. You have to shake that off and try to...
Well, and always try to do, like, new things or things that you enjoy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just get excited about something and just stay excited. If you're not excited about this anymore, and find, like, a new thing to be excited about.
Yeah, for me, you have to have the physical dimension. Things have to be physically hard, too. You know what I mean? If it's just mental is not enough for me.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be the kind of guy that would want to take fucking fencing classes or fucking, you know, that kind of shit.
That's, you know.
Boxing, get back into fucking... MMA, you know, beat some dude's ass and get your ass beat, you know. I'd be, like, into that.
Yeah.
Little Swole wanted to come over here and train me. That motherfucker can throw, like, fucking four Little fucking blows. Little Swole could throw four blows a second. He sounds like a damn machine gun.
Yeah.
His, older brother was a boxer. I think he was pro or semi-pro boxer. So he grew up being the punching bag and just getting beat up all the time by his brothers. I think he had two brothers. And that little dude, man, look at him. You don't look at him. You wouldn't think there's much there. That motherfucker could knocked out two dudes in a crowd of people and nobody even noticed that he knocked them. Walked away like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because the police station was right there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the police station was right there. Knocked two dudes. They were big dudes.
And then just
knocked him out and walked away like he didn't do nothing. Yeah. Walked away like he didn't do anything.
See, that's what she
left him there fucking cutting Z's on the ground. Their feet were doing this.
You gotta be fucking smart like that. You gotta be fucking smart like that, man. And I do feel like, too, that, you know, people who, like, really want to fight and stuff like that, I think that it's an underrated quality that it's really good if you are really good at getting your ass beat. And you can take a lot of abuse. Because a lot of fighting is who's going to get tired out first. So if you can take a lot of abuse, then you will probably go far in that arena.
Yeah.
All right. You want to wrap? Holy crap, we've been going for an hour.
Yeah, we got to go.
All right. So we will probably watch, like, the last episode of Unsolved Mysteries tonight. Maybe talk about that tomorrow, but we'll probably watch a newer movie as well to talk about tomorrow as well. So thanks, everybody, for stopping by, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.